half a million shipping containers that are stuck at ports in the United States. There's also several thousand. I've read a report something this morning about 20,000 container ships stuck out at sea outside American ports. There is a massive supply chain crisis threatening the global economy, and economists are warning this could last for at least another year unless there is government's intervention in this crisis. It's so bad for Americans, even the upcoming Halloween holiday is in jeopardy. Many costumes, toys, decorations, things that have been ordered online that is shipped to the United States, supposed to be in stores and then sold on to customers, simply not getting there. And because of what's been called a global shipping crisis, many of the things that would be planned for this weekend's Halloween festivities won't get to people in time. And there's deep consideration about whether this could affect well into the festive season, the busiest commercial time in global economics. And we're wondering if this affects South Africa as well. Brian Ingpen is a shipping expert, joins me now on the line. Something like 20,000 shipping containers stranded at US ports at the moment. Brian, are we seeing any of that have repercussions along the South African coastline of us getting goods to and from and out of South Africa?
Firstly, good morning, Lester. Nice to chat with you. Just ships stuck is probably not correct. We're looking at about 70 ships at some of the bigger ports, American West Coast, and similar numbers of some of the...
Brian, I'm going to try and get you on a better line. We're talking about what's being called about a global supply chain crisis that is affecting the US, could be affecting South Africa as well. We're waiting to get Brian Ingpen on the line. If you are an importer to South Africa, if you have been affected by supply chain issues, let me know. Give me a call. 021-446-0567. Drop me a WhatsApp, 0725671567. Because I'm seeing lots of reports that many people's Halloween this weekend could go up in smoke because the costumes, the decorations, the candy that they've ordered weeks and months ago, not getting to them on time. We wait and see if Brian Ingpen is on the line. Not available yet. But let's see if I can go to a quick voice note now. 0725671567. Let's have a listen.
Good morning, Lester. I hope that you are well. With regards to this whole political thing, is I just wish political parties would stop criticizing the next party and actually just get on with the job. I think once they start doing a good job, then people will actually take note. But they spend more time and money fighting each other than actually getting the job done. So, yeah, it's simple. Just get the job done, and I'm pretty sure they'll get more votes. But anyway, have a great day, everyone. Stay safe and sanitized. Jason from Brackenfell.
Thanks so much, Jason. This is definitely something I want to pick up on a bit later in the show. But let's try Brian again. Brian, I hope this line is a bit better.
Hi there, Lester. Is that better?
That's much better. Thank you.
Wonderful.
So much. What is then the disruption that we're seeing at US ports? Lester,
we're talking about West Coast, similar numbers of the Chinese coast, and it's largely because of post-COVID movement of containers. Mm. And for folks perhaps not being geared up for a sudden and unexpected surge. Mm. The other thing is, of course, that more larger ships operating now and containers that have to be discharged on at particular ports. And I suppose in some ports there are also COVID problems among the staff.
Because there's been a huge influx in the demand side of things, that we're seeing ports struggling to clear the containers that are coming in?
Yeah, and of course it coincides with the demand for Christmas goodies. You know, the Halloween thing I think is relatively minor.
Okay, we're going to try and get Brian Impeng on a better line. Let's go to a spot, Johannes. Let's see if we can get Brian on maybe a different platform. But we're struggling to get through to shipping expert Brian Ingpen on what's being described as a global supply chain crisis. Hi, James. MJ Schumacher is the president of the professional body of supply chain management, joining me now on the line. MJ, thanks so much for coming on to the show. I hope this is a much better line that we've had with Brian. We're still trying to get Brian on the air, but how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Very good. We're seeing what's being described as global supply chain crises brought on by constraints at US ports. And then also early in the year, we saw 12% of global trade being affected by the Suez Canal blockage. Are we experiencing it? Are we seeing it in South Africa?
Well, I think South Africa, you know, is just as much affected as the rest of the world. I think, you know, especially also with what was happening with the lockdowns, you know, we are the same as everyone else. Obviously, we don't have a Suez Canal, but we were on top of that. I think, you know, especially with what happened in KwaZulu-Natal with the Transnet IT system crashing, that caused quite a lot of problems for the ports. And if you think about the whole looting that happened, plus that. They lost 12 days, and I don't know if you know how many containers go through the Durban port. Mm.
And what are we currently seeing as the cause for supply chain crisis in the United States at the moment?
I think in the United States, you know, I know that President Biden, he's now said we're at 24/7 across all the docks because he's trying to pick up the backlog. But I think what's also impacting that is the change of the consumer. So you can imagine, you know, and COVID maybe has some impact on it, but you can imagine previously the consumer would go to the shop, they would go and buy whatever they needed to buy, and they would go home again. And now everything's happening online. Everyone wants everything now. They want it quickly. And if they don't get it, they buy something else. So I think that also contributes to the issue is that companies are struggling also to anticipate what the customer wants.
I think that's fascinating in terms of over the last 20 months, we've largely turned to online trading and online purchases. And we saw a boom in South Africa. And one always kept somewhere in the back of your mind just how supply chains would be affected. What would be then the issue with trying to get those products? And if we were at home, largely for the last 20 months, we don't want to be waiting weeks for this new gadget, this new product, this new album, this new CD, this new clothes, if it's not going to get here as soon as possible. So have supply chains been coping?
So the supply chains, I think, have had to rethink how they do things. You know, the old-fashioned way was sort of just in time. Let's just have a little bit on stock and try and shorten the chain. And I think now it's changing. Companies have to stop thinking in a financial way. So inventory is, of course, always a liability if you don't have any sales forecasted. And the finance department, of course, don't want cash flow issues because we're sitting on inventory. And that whole mindset is going to have to change because, as we said, the consumer wants everything now. And, you know, electronics lead time normally takes 6 months. So no one's going to wait 6 months for something. They'll just go somewhere else. And also the digitizing, the technology that companies are using, they're going to have to anticipate much better than they did before. They're going to have to work out what are the trends. You know, just an example. There's a software that you can connect it to your internet, to Google, all the search machines. And as soon as your product appears by somebody who just made a comment to say, oh, I just drank XYZ and it was fantastic, you can actually feed that through into your system and say, okay, maybe our sales are going to change now because someone has said they like our drink. And they need to change the production line immediately. They need to stop. Coca-Cola already does that.
So then what is then the lead time if I'm an importer to South Africa? I see a product which I want to market in South Africa. Many of products are consumer products manufactured in the East China. What is then the lead time that from where I want to make a bulk order to market in South Africa for me to pay for it, them to make it, them to put it on a ship, then to get it to South Africa? What then is that lead time?
If you are ordering something that they have to actually produce, so they don't have it on stock, then you're reckoning with 3 to 6 months.
Gosh, and if moods change and consumer habits change, as you say, can spin on a dime.
Yes, that is a very, very precarious
market.
Then your ship is on the ocean. There's nothing you can do about it. So, and then you may have the issue that once it arrives here, as I mentioned, what happened in the Durban port, that they were in backlog in 12 days. They were in backlog of 60,000 containers. And the for every hour your container will stand on the dock, you are paying demurrage, you're paying money.
Mm. What the last 20 months and even just the last few months have shown with the Suez Canal blockage, 12% of global trade being impacted just over the course of a week, just simply a blocking of one narrow strait in Egypt. I think we also need to realize of how interconnected global trade and global economics is. What affects a small little strait of a passage in Egypt affects 12% of the global economy. And I think it's very much this whole period of 20 months gives us an indication of how interconnected world economics and trade is.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's where, you know, from a supply chain perspective, a lot of businesses have had to rethink their supplier network. So how do they procure? You know, you can't just have one supplier. So if your one supplier is going through the Suez Canal, you need to have a backup supplier. So your whole risk strategy has to change. It's to say, you look at my top products, the ones that make me the most gross profit. You know, those ones, I need to have a dual supplier. So if the one goes down or the ship gets stuck, I can go back to the other one. So it's all about changing the way your business is set up, how your risk management is managed. And again, be willing to carry some stock, especially of the products where you know that's where you make your money. So you segment your products based on the importance of those products.
So what's the expectation for the busiest commercial season in South Africa, around the world, festive season? We as much clamoring for product, for stuff, as the rest of the world. We are also impacted by whether it is a truck driver shortage in the UK or whether it's containers outside ports in San Diego or whether there's issues in the South China Sea. We're all impacted by that. What's the South African season looking like?
Well, that's a huge question, Alida. I can't even quantify that. I think, you know, the problem we already had at the Durban port, which covers 2/3 of our imports, it seems to be under control. They've built a control tower, which is a software that they can manage their capacity. Everything is a domino effect. So, you know, exactly as you described, if something gets stuck in the Suez and it's meant for South Africa, you know, you could end up having a production line that's standing still. So I think we're just going to, as they say, go with the flow and try to manage as much as possible what we do have. Try and source local. I think, you know, that you don't have that lead time. You don't have those big, you know, those ships waiting in the harbor. It's really about just managing day to day, you know, managing your demand, managing your risk strategy, and just trying your best to get it moving, because I don't think this is going to end very soon.
What's in for South African exporters, for the UK market? What would tend to happen, we ship and goes to Europe and then gets put on a truck and then goes to the UK. With the truck driver shortage in the UK, largely brought on by Brexit, are South African products having any impediments getting into the UK market?
Well, you know, it really depends what the suppliers shipping to the UK wants to do, because they could, of course, revert to air freight, which is much more expensive, but you can still get your product into the country. I think the Brexit was completely underestimated by the UK, because the paperwork, you know, a colleague of mine is actually working with the Brexit organizations, and they're saying the paperwork is an absolute nightmare. It's not just the truck drivers. It's actually, you get to where you need to be and then your paperwork isn't right. You have to go back and then you have to do your paperwork again and then go back again. So it's much bigger than just not enough truck drivers. I mean, the states have the same problem where they don't have enough truck drivers. But it's the whole concept of paperwork, crossing the border, do I have the right stuff? Are those products even registered in the UK? They may have been registered before, that maybe they're not registered anymore. So it's much, much bigger than just a truck driver.
MJ Schoonmaker, president of the professional body of supply chain management. Thanks so much for joining us.